A warning bell went off inside my head, very dim and deep. I stepped back from the window and raised my hands to my face as if I thought I could block off that tidal ache simply by blocking off sight of the Buick. And the sight of Ned looking so white and lost behind the oversized steering wheel. It had taken hold of him, and just now, briefly, it had taken hold of me. Had tried to sidetrack me with a lot of old useless memories. Whether or not it had consciously waited for its chance to get at Ned didn't matter. What mattered was that the temperature in there was going down fast, almost diving, and if I intended doing something, now was the time. "Maybe you ought to get some backup in on this," the voice in my head whispered. It sounded like my own voice, but it wasn't. "Might be someone in the barracks. I'd check if I were you. Not that it matters to me. Doing one more piece of mischief before I sleep, that's what matters to me. Pretty much all that matters to me. And why? Because I can, Hoss. Just because I can." Backup seemed like a good idea. God knows I was terrified at the idea of going into Shed B on my own and approaching the Buick in its current state. What got me going was the knowledge that I had caused this. I was the one who had opened Pandora's box. I ran around to the hutch, not pausing at the side door, although I registered the smell of gasoline, heavy and rich. I knew what he'd done. The only question was how much gas he'd poured under the car and how much he'd saved back in the can. The door to the hutch was secured with a padlock. For years it had been left open, the curved steel arm just poked through the hasp to keep the door from swinging open in a breeze. The lock was open that night, too. I swear that's the truth. It wasn't noontime bright out there, but there was enough glow from the open side door to see the lock clearly. Then, as I reached for it, the steel post slid down into the hole on the body of the lock with a tiny, audible click. I saw that happen, and I felt it, too. For just a moment, the pulse in my head sharpened and focused. It was like a gasp of effort. I keep two key rings, cop keys and personals. There were about 20 on the official ring, and I used a trick I'd learned a long time before from Tony Shane Dinks. I let the keys fall on my palm as they would like pickup sticks, then simply felt among them without looking. It doesn't always work, but this time it did, likely because the key to the hutch padlock was smaller than all the others except the one to my locker downstairs, and the locker key has a square head. Now faintly I heard the humming begin. It was faint, like the sound of a motor buried in the earth, but it was there. I took the key my fingers had found and rammed it into the padlock. The steel arm popped up again. I yanked the lock out of the hasp and dropped it on the ground. Then I opened the door to the hutch and stepped inside.